Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
What's up, everyone? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. We're going to have a little fun today, guys, and share some of our best and worst moments in the business so far. It's really easy to get caught up in the daily grind, so we thought we'd take some time and reminisce. Before we do that, though, I want to talk about our meetup with the Texas Land Investors coming up here in Fort Worth on March 2nd at Topgolf. Guys, it's going to be so cool. We've got an entire day filled with land. We've got breakfast, lunch, dinner. We've got guest speakers. We've got a podcast. If I know you've probably heard me talk about it left and right, but that's because we are so excited. It's going to be a killer event. Go check out our Facebook page. All the information is on there to get signed up. We're offering partner discounts. Don't want to miss this event. So with that in mind, let's get started.
Yeah. No, I'm pumped on this. Today's Friday. And we're getting the Weekend Warriors starting to get caught up on our podcast. They're listening. They're getting ready to amped up. You know, we had a Weekend Warrior. Him and his wife actually signed up for Texas Land Investor Live. He just sold his first two deals that he did some consulting with me on the front end. He paid $12,500 and sold them for $24,000, $22,000, something like that. He paid $12,500 for two properties.
For two properties.
Yep.
Okay.
So he made, and he's like, I was like, man, that's great. He's like, this really works. That's all he could say to me is, it really works. And I was like, yes, it does.
I think we all kind of have that moment when you get started, like, oh my God, it works, yeah. Right? That's how it was my first mailer, and they're coming back signed. Then you sell something, and then you get owner finance, and you're like, this is
happening.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Just going to change our lives.
No, it really does. And that's, I can say from, you know, one of my worst moments in life was April 21st. I still know the date. Like, I remember that phone call at 6 o'clock in the morning. I remember one of my employees driving me home because I had a company car. And, you know, that's kind of what the show's about, best and worst moments through this. You know, and I remember driving home, and my employee that was driving me, or my ex-employee, he having to drive me home because I had a company car. I didn't have a car at that point. He was like crying on the way home. And he told me the other day, I actually talked to him about a week ago because I helped him. He has a side business, and I helped him get started with another guy to expand his business, and expanded both their business. And they're doing extremely well in a side business. Now, I think it's could take over his full-time job if he needed it to. But he's like, man, just you calling your wife. He goes, that was the worst moment I've ever had. And I was like, yeah, imagine making a call.
That was really bad in the moment, though. But could you imagine like still being there?
Oh, no. No.
Well, I mean, if you never left, you wouldn't know any better.
Yeah.
Right? But now knowing where you're at now and what you're doing now, the freedoms and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Could you go back?
I mean, that would be tough. You know, there's a security there. And there's a...
Is there a security there?
Because it's a false security. And it wasn't a performance issue. That was the thing for me. It's the understanding the concept behind it. And I get it on certain levels and other levels I don't. But I remember sitting there that weekend and just being just down in the dumps all weekend. You know, we just opened this land business. I think at that point we'd done 25 deals and thinking, okay, can I make this work? And, you know, I was like, well, all I got to do is make X amount of money.
Yeah.
We could pay the bills.
I was adamantly against you going back to work somewhere because I knew like how much money you had and like what was capable of this business.
Yeah.
And I know how disgustingly terrible the railroad is.
I wasn't putting the railroad out there.
I'm putting it out there. I freaking hate the railroad.
Yeah.
It's cool. Like I like watching trains, but oh my God, you want to get me fired up? Talk to me about working for the railroad.
It's a grind. You know, so let's talk about best moments. Like what's one of your best moments?
Okay. So there's several best moments for me, but most of them involve the road trips.
Okay.
So yeah. me and you went to Brewster County.
Uh-huh.
And I know like people, you're kind of trained to not go look at the property.
Yep.
But you had already bought this property.
Yep.
And then you wanted to see what you got.
Yep.
So we hopped in the car and we took off out there for 2 days.
Oh yeah. That was a drive too.
Yeah. It was a drive, but it
made it real.
Yeah, it did make it real. And I remember like you kind of being nervous as we're driving through pretty land. You're like, it's going to look like this. And then we get through like the dirt and you're like, please don't let it look like this. And then we get to Brewster County and the ranch, the hotel.
Yeah, Terlingua Ranch Lodge.
It's like 13 miles down a dirt road.
Yep.
And that's when I was kind of like, oh my.
Oh, what did we get ourselves into?
Yeah. But then my dad and I have also done a trip. So we sent out a bunch of offers to Arkansas.
Yep.
And my dad and I went out there for a day trip because we thought we had found this beautiful piece of property. We drove all the way out there. You know, just get to spend that kind of time with your dad is good. But that's mostly what it revolves around is those two trips, like the bonding time, the fun times, getting to see the land, get to put your feet on it.
There's something to that.
Yeah, there is.
You know, and a lot of the courses teach you not to go to the land. I mean, the guys I see that are super successful have all went to their land. They get excited about it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you don't have to go to your land. You can just play it as the numbers on the spreadsheet. And that's what we do most of the time. But there's something different about stepping on this piece of property that you own free and clear. Well, you have the deed in your hand and you're just like, yes, I own this. That's a great feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I would say 95% of the time we don't go to the land.
Yep.
You know, but there's those times that you do where it makes it fun. And actually just the Oklahoma trip where you and I went and looked at land in Oklahoma all the time. I mean,
yeah,
that was fun. Got my dad's Jeep kind of.
Yeah, we got a little squirrely. I had to spot you through the road.
Which was funny because going up that mountain took like 3 hours, it felt like, and then 20 minutes to get back down.
Yep.
I swear, we like must have gone around the mountain somehow.
No, it was the same road.
I don't know.
Because that road's part of my worst moments.
Oh, really?
That's the road. Remember, I got stuck by myself.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. With your two-wheel drive, dude. Yep. That'll teach you.
That's why I bought a four-wheel drive truck the next week.
Yeah, you bought a wide truck. I don't know if that one can even get down that road now.
Oh, that one can. Yeah, that one will work. That's but I bought the Tacoma.
Yeah.
Yep, after the Jeep. So one of my best moments, a couple of the road trips, but one of the things for me is that when we talk about best and worst moments, it's easy to say, oh, my best moment's when I got this wire in that made 70 grand, you know, that's a cool moment.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's about. Do you know that if that's all you're solely focused on is this money, you're going to miss the point of this whole business.
Yeah.
One of my best moments is waking up. We went to Terlingua. You kind of mentioned that Terlingua Ranch, and we'd bought 21 properties down there. So when you say we were going to see what we bought, I don't think we found the property.
We never saw one property.
Yeah, because a little piece of advice, when you get to some of the raw rural land, download Google Maps on your phone or Google Earth to your phone and download that map to it. We didn't know that at this time. I mean, we were
newbies.
Yeah, we were a month into the land business. Yeah. And so we get out there thinking, oh, cell phone will work. Doesn't work.
We couldn't even make a phone call the whole weekend.
Yeah, no, which was kind of nice. It was kind of nice.
Yeah, I'm sure Jess and Mary Beth thought so too.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't have to talk to us.
We're driving out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
and they want to be able to make sure we're not being chainsaw massacred or something.
We were together. We were well prepared. We were strapped up.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
When we got up at I woke you up at 2 o'clock in the morning so we could step outside and see the stars because I'd always heard Terlingua, the Big Bend area, had beautiful stars. Mm-hmm. And I remember going out there. I was like, holy mackerel! The stars look like diamonds in the sky. And I was like, oh, that'll sell this property no matter what. That was a great moment for me.
Yeah, no, that was definitely awesome. Because for anyone that doesn't know, when I said the ranch for Terlingua Ranch Hotel is 13 miles down dirt road, that is not an exaggeration.
No.
You are in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
And it surprises me that people actually live out there, but they do. And you want to see the stars at night.
Yep, that's where you go.
That's where you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different way of life. We went to that little bar. I think it was called The Porch in I think it was either in Terlingua or something right by. There's a ghost town of Terlingua.
Yeah.
And we went up there and we sat down and ate and there was adventure bike motorcycle riders going on. So when you start talking about how do you sell your property, you start talking about stuff like that. Oh man, they have the chili cook-off once a year. They have the adventure bike cycle. I've had like 5 or 6 consulting clients just send mail out there and they've still bought property. They continue to buy property. They're churning property and make good money off of it.
So, yeah. It makes me wonder what Marfa looks like because you know how they have the
lights,
the Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, that's what they say, or they say it's the freeway and it's headlights bouncing off. I don't know which one it is. I've heard both.
Mm.
But yeah, it's got the, what does it have the store there? Is it?
The Prada store.
Prada store, that's right. Because there's a Target one just outside of Terlingua too. There's a little miniature Target.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember where it's at. I'm sure one of the listeners will correct me on it, but it's around Terlingua area. I can't think of it. I saw a guy that bought some property down there. He went and looked at it, and he went down there twice, and he lives in like the Houston area.
Oh, wow.
And he ended up buying, I think, an 80 acre, a 40 and some 20s and stuff like that. And he's done well with them so far.
Hmm.
But let's talk about worst moments. What's one of your worst moments, Adam?
Yeah, but this is a business. Mm-hmm. You know, not everything is all roses. And
no, it's
not. There are some bad moments. I don't want to get super deep into like my worst moment yet because the deal hasn't closed.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it sometime. But essentially, I bought a big flip in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful property.
Yep.
Going to make a killing on it, only to find out the person who sold it to me lied about ownership. We went through quiet title.
Yeah.
There was some lying going on. Essentially, I spent $20,000 on a property I couldn't buy.
Yeah. Well, you bought like a piece of it after attorneys got involved.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long story. We'll talk about it at some point once I get closed. It's been going on for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a...
It's a big chunk of money in a startup business. You know, you've had the business open for two and a half years, 3 years now,
mm-hmm.
But you weren't focusing on it, super hyper focused on it. This was going to be the first big deal to mm-hmm. it was going to be the come up. You know, we did the duplex together, and then mm-hmm. this one, it was like this was the come up property that was going to set us up.
Yeah, I mean, this property on the low end would have made 40,000. Yeah. I probably could have made 80,000 on it.
Yeah, that's a sickening one. That's got to be a worse one. I think two of my moments, that the ones that come to mind, you know, I bought an 80-acre property. It was in Brewster County. We mentioned that. It was part of the ranch. Google Earth showed road views going into it, listed the property. We didn't go to this property. I bought it afterwards. Sold it to a guy. So he rides his motorcycle out there and pulls up. There's a locked gate. And he's like, hey, man. He sends me a picture message, and I get this picture message. I was like, oh, crap. And I'm like, this shouldn't be there. And I'm looking at all the property around it. And this is like on so many random people's property lines. I was like, that shouldn't be there. Mm. Can you open the gate? And he's like, oh, it's got a do not enter, you will get shot sign on it. And I'm like, oh, no. And so I'm like, okay, well, let me find out. He goes, it's got a ranch name on it. So luckily it had that. And I was able to get a hold of the owner from there. And so I sent them a letter and said, hey, you have a gate blocking my access to my property. I'd like to get a key or cut the chain and put a lock on it because I have it sold. And the guy's like, you're not going back there. And I go, yeah, I am, you know. And he's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, well, okay, I guess we need to get attorneys involved. And he's like, no, you're just going to sell me that property. And I said, well, I've got it listed for $25,000. And he's like, I'll give you $16,000. I still double my money. I'm like, okay, man, twisted my arm, sure. So he ends up buying it. Well, he goes, how did you find the owners of that property? So I kind of walked him through it. He sends me a survey. It was 8 years old. He was in the middle of an adverse possession. Like, he was trying to get adverse possession. They fenced in a section. They only owned 100 acres. And so he was trying. He said, we've been ranching it for 70 years, you know, between my dad and this, but they didn't ever have the steps in place to prove the adverse possession. Nobody ever came out there. Nobody ever looked at it. It was just raw, rural, just rugged piece of property. And he's like, can you find the rest of these owners? And I found 8 of them for him. He paid me to find 8 of them. The other ones, they were just off the tax rolls. They weren't even there. Nobody could find them. But he had to have that to prove his adverse possession. And that's a sickening moment when you have a property sold for $25,000. A guy shows up and it's locked and he wants to back out. Luckily, I had a 60-acre real close to it. It was on the other side of this little mountain that was there. And he ended up buying that. His wife came over and paid me cash for it right then. So the next day she showed up and he was still down there hanging out.
Nice. Yeah, that the fence is scary.
Yep.
You know, I actually had that happen this weekend. It was a 10-acre, so it's not like it was a big out-of-pocket expense if they found out there wasn't a way to get in. But the guy's like, hey, I'm here. There's a lock on it. What should I do? An immediate panic sits in, you know, like, oh, no. In my case, it worked out. There was like 10 other ways to get to the property. Right. He went to the closest one.
Yep.
And there's a lock there.
Instead of the right one.
Yeah, instead of the right one.
Yeah, no, and that's those, like, barbed wire fences you cannot see on Google Earth.
No,
You can't, and that's the scary part about it. And people wonder why I'm so selective on the properties I buy. Like, I will not buy it unless it has a maintained road to it because of that right there. That changed my whole business. Mm-hmm. Like, I may get 20 properties back, and if it's not a maintained road to it, I don't buy it because of that moment.
Yeah.
You know, one of my other worst moments is, I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but that with the property we went and looked at in Oklahoma, kind of two things happened there. I get up there, and I'm driving up, and I'm in my Jeep. It's a 2-wheel drive Cherokee at that time. It's my first car. I just went and bought a cash car right after, you know, getting rid of the company car. I go buy this car. I felt like a loser that weekend, didn't have a car, right? So I buy this truck, and I'm like, I just get it real quick, go. It's leather V8. It was a nice truck. It rode nice. We climbing up this mountain, and I'm like 10, 12 miles from the paved road.
Yeah, and you're by yourself.
I'm by myself. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I'm going to drive up here. I'm going to make this work. You know, I had a 240-acre property to look at up there. And one of them had a cabin on it. So it was an old cabin. And then me and you went and looked at it later. Driving up it, and I get up this first part, and I'm like going up this pretty steep gravelly hill, and the truck starts bouncing to the right. Well, it bounced so far over to the right that I'm straddling this like ditch that is too thick to like drive through. Like, it'll just rip off the front of the car. And I'm like crossed over straddling it. And I'm like, shoot. So I get out of the thing, and I'm so mad. I'm wearing boat shoes to drive up there because it's comfortable. I was going to switch into some little hiking boots I had to walk the rest of the way, walk the property in. And I'm in my boat shoes. I jump out and I'm like, crap. So I'm throwing my hands in the air. I'm walking around in circles, just mad. And I'm like a mile from the property. And I just get so mad. I just take off walking towards the property. I'm like, I'm walking to this property. I'm not letting this stop me. And so I walk the mile to the property, walk the property, see this big cabin. I don't have any idea why it's there and what it's there. I'm like, man, this is nice. This isn't what he told me he built. So I'm like, man, and that leads me to the next bad moment. You know, we go up there and we find that somebody had built a cabin on his property. They were told the property line was this tree and just to walk straight in, so they built it that way. This guy hadn't been up in his property in 30 years. They built it 10 acres to the west when it should have been 10 acres to the east. Mm. So they're like 150 feet inside this property line. Mm. And so when I called that owner, I was like, hey, I'm looking at some property right next door to you. I think you built your cabin on the property. He's like, no, I didn't. I was like, well, I'm going by the GPS coordinates. And yeah, you're about 100 feet inside the property line. Mm. So he was willing to buy that property from them. So I gave them each other their number and let them work it out.
Oh, nice. I remember the small cabin.
The little wooden one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, this was the big metal one.
Yeah, I remember that one too when we went up there the second time.
Yeah.
But that small cabin, I've got a photo of it. We'll put it up on Instagram and Facebook, but that's not so much a cabin.
Yeah, I mean, that's an old hunting shack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was a hunting shack 30 years ago. Imagine looking at it 30 years ago when they built it.
Yeah, I mean, it's now it's been destroyed by bears and whatnot.
Bears, wolves, and whatever. Yeah. Those two moments like that, you get so amped up on something, you really want it to work, and then it doesn't. You know, mm-hmm. it's a crazy feeling.
Yeah, because that was going to be a really good deal. I mean, 40 acres, beautiful hunting property, a supposed cabin on it for a killer deal. That's one of those you get your hopes up, and then you're driving up the mountain, you get stuck.
Yep.
And then you got to hike another mile.
Yep.
Only to find out that, A, that maybe someone else is built on the property, and then the other cabin is not a cabin.
No. And then your phone doesn't work up there.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Phone doesn't work. And even if you wanted help, you've got to walk. I mean, you would have to walk a long ways to find help.
Yep. No, it was, that's what I thought. I had a blanket in the back of my truck. And I always, like, when we go look at these properties, I throw a gallon of water, a blanket, just in case we need to build, like, some shelter or some tent or something. Because you can sleep in a car, but, you know, it'll keep you warm. And I was thinking in my head, I had a hatchet and a shovel. And I was like, okay, how can I get this thing fixed? So ended up taking... like digging out the rocks around it and building myself a little pad to get across this ditch so I could roll the car over it. And so I rocked it back to the edge to see where the tire would hit, stop, filled it up with rocks, and then rolled across it with my front tire. And then I had to back down the side of that mountain. I had to back down for a mile before I could make a 10-point turn to turn around.
I'm so glad I wasn't there for that.
Dude, it was one of my worst moments. And you know, we could talk about profit and losses and business, but the money's going to happen. You're going to make money on deals. You're going to lose a little bit of money, but when you put it all together, you're going to be profitable. So I don't want people to get so hung up on the making money, like, oh, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to do that. I mean, Plum, and I was told you earlier this week that Plum has hit $1 million in value on property in 2.5 months. So we've partnered on $1 million in value. And I think our average acquisition price is $9,000. And the average property value is about 35. So, I mean, that's what's possible.
Because
mm-hmm. these are all land investors just like us out there doing these deals, and they're bringing them to us and we're funding them. It's crazy to think we could always go there, worst deal, best deal, but it's those moments for us. And the show is not best deal, worst deal. It's mm-hmm. best and worst moments. And mm-hmm. that's what we all have to remember. There's going to be moments, aha moments, things that are going to get you amped up. They're going to keep you pushing forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, enjoy the ride.
And do it.
I think that's probably why we want to do this, because like I said earlier, I mean, it's so easy to get wrapped up in everything you're doing, mm-hmm. the daily hustle, the daily grind, that you forget about all the good things.
Yep.
And that you got to take some time to really, you know, like I said, enjoy the ride.
Yeah, no, that you're exactly right. There's a Beth last week, she was getting some property. We bought a bundle of property from Arkansas and the deeds were coming in, and she's just like feeling through it. And she's like, oh, she says something. I go, well, that's the deed right there. You do realize you have a ownership of a property in your hand and you're just like flipping it around like it's nothing. She's like, oh my gosh. And I know she listens to this, so she'll probably laugh a little bit about it, but she's like, oh, and then she started getting scared to hold it. And I was like, it's just paper. Don't worry about it. And that's the crazy thing is when you get these deeds in and it's for an 80 acre and you're like, man, I actually own a deed to this 80 acres. I mean, that's huge. And when you tell people that, they look at you kind of funny because they're like, what? You own 80 acres? Especially if it's like somebody from California or New York.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I own quite a bit of land.
I wouldn't worry too much about Beth holding that deed. Maybe if one of her other sisters hold it, it might catch on fire, but that seems okay.
Beth seems okay. Yeah. No, it's you hit the nail on the head. We have to remember the moments in this business and things that make you laugh and make you smile and take some time to be okay with accepting that, hey, you can be successful.
Yeah. All right, let's call it quits right there. What do you say?
Sounds good.
Anything else?
No, Weekend Warriors kicking off. Let's make sure you get on Offers to Owners, get your mail out. When the mail comes back in, get on Parcel Fact. Make sure you're checking boundaries and make sure you got access.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're not a member of Land Academy, enrollment is back open. So jump out there and use that casual code. Save yourself some money and
we like
get
it.
Rolling.
We like it when you save money.
Yeah. All right, guys. Also, real quick, if you haven't done it, go to Facebook, go to Instagram, give us a like and a follow there. And then even more importantly, go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us. Like, rate, and subscribe to the show. We really appreciate it. We love you for it. And we'll be coming back each and every week. All right, guys. See you Monday.
Thank you.